It's Friday, and you've reached the Kelly Wendland Podcast. On today's episode, we interview Rob Moore and Melissa Brown, e-prescription experts and Logisolve's healthcare leaders. Coming up next. And we are live with the Kelly Wendland Podcast. It is Friday. How are you doing, Rob Moore, Melissa Brown?
Doing great.
Great. How are you?
Doing great. Always love it when it's Friday. When people talk about e-prescription, they think about, I'm just jumping right at you.
That's good.
No small talk, no chit chat. Yeah. When I think about e-prescription, I think about being at my doctor's and getting a good, accurate prescription sent from the doctor's office so that I can go to my pharmacy at Target or Walmart or wherever and have that same brand and prescription sitting there and me not have too much hassle with the insurance process. Is that how you guys think of it? And what do you do with any prescription that make, you know, that allows that process to work?
Well, first of all, you hit it on the head for what I enjoy about this type of area is that it's totally relatable to what everybody does in their daily life, right? A lot of people get prescriptions. We've been doing this for 20 years now. And in the beginning, there's so much resistance by physicians to only use paper in that prescription process. And now it's normal, right? Just like you said, now you expect it as a consumer to have it pick the pharmacy sent and it's accurate when it shows up. So yeah, that's exactly what we think about it, what we're implementing here. What we do is all the middleware between the EMR, the system that the clinic and the physician use to get it in from their system securely through a channel to get it all the way to the pharmacy accurately. And we could talk about all the other additional benefits, medical, pharmaceutical benefits, stuff like that. But that is that's the gist of it right there.
Okay. How much is there in the middle that as consumers we don't see? What is going on from the point that the physician says you need, you know, an antibiotic to the point I pick up the antibiotic? Who's in the middle there?
There's different hubs in the middle. We're primary players right here in Minneapolis with SureScripts, but the player in the middle, what they're doing is they're standardizing that approach. Before they came along, what would happen is that to get your pharmaceutical benefit information to the clinic or to get access to the pharmacy, these EMRs would have to try to connect to all these places individually. We needed a spoke model that where they could go into one place and that one place would know how to route it properly. But beyond that, what a company like that does is it by standardizing it, you've got clean drug names, you've got appropriate, you know, quantity unit of measures, you got the right medication for the right therapy, things that are using the system and using a whole library of information instead of just relying on a piece of paper that a physician fills out.
Interesting. So when you say the right medication for the, you know, for whatever the therapy might be, are these systems working with the doctors or with the whatever the software is the doctor is using to make sure that what's being prescribed is appropriate or is a commonly prescribed kind of drug for whatever that malady is?
Yeah, I'm hogging this conversation, but this is Melissa's specialty here because Melissa was in charge of developing a great solution around that at SureScript. So Melissa, why don't you talk about, you know, RTPV and formularies.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, there's a number of things that take place prior to the prescription actually being written that help support that workflow. So the prescriber has the opportunity through the implementation with, you know, vendor or solutions like SureScripts where they can identify, you know, does a patient have insurance? What different drugs are on that patient's formulary. And over time, there's a new product or service that's available. It's called the real-time benefit check solution. And that allows the prescriber to make an informed decision with the patient sitting right there in terms of what drugs are covered, what's the actual cost of the drug, is there any prior authorization or any other steps that will need to occur before actually prescribing that medication. So there are a number of different transactions that can be implemented into the prescriber's workflow to help inform that process.
How much integration, how much technology is going into that whole process? It sounds like there's a lot of spread out entities and a lot of spread out data. So is your world mostly figuring out where data is and making sure the data is clean and then connecting all of it? Is that how you would describe it, or is it something else?
A lot of this information, you know, existed within, we've been saying PBM. It's a pharmaceutical benefit management company, right? It's in town here. You know, you got Prime Therapeutics, or you got Express Scripts or CVS Health, formerly Caremark. Those type of companies are ones that hold this abundance of information about, well, not just what medications are going to be covered on a particular formulary, but which one are therapeutically appropriate, stuff like that. That information resides in their systems, right? And then we need to have a solution that could get that information in front of the physician, like Melissa was saying, at the point of prescribing, rather than having it get down to the point where it's at the pharmacy and they have to change medications. So what we do, what LodgeSoft does, is we work in that middle to allow the information to get pulled from that PBM and securely processed through the system to the clinic, to the point that it shows up right at the point that the person puts the drug name in, right? In this way, what happens is too many times if there is a problem with that drug, when they get to the pharmacy, you know, people will tend to walk away and not take that medication, which results in more readmits to the hospital. They're not compliant with their drug taking. So that's the real problem. And if we can get the information when the physician's still there with the patient, it improves the performance of that particular medication. And to answer your question, though, we're handling the transfer of that information, the processing of it, making sure it's in a standard format, and integrating that within the EMR's workflow.
How long has this been? You know, the e-prescription started, you know, 15 years ago or 10 years ago? Is that right?
No, more than that. We were lucky enough, because we live in Minnesota, we were lucky enough to be on the ground floor of what's RX Hub back in the day in 2001. And that's when the PBM was put together, RX Hub, which now is known as SureScripts. LodgeSoft, actually, three of our members that are still with us, got to be in the ground floor of that, of establishing that particular company as consultants. And then I can't remember, Melissa, if you remember, the first day an eligibility transaction actually went across was probably a couple years after that, where that's the passing of coverage information to the EMR, which didn't exist before. And then since then, now they're passing, you know, millions and millions of transactions daily.
Yeah, I'm often amazed by where we've seen this evolve from, you know, to your point, Rob, with the first day of being able to send an eligibility transaction, you know, between RX Hub, now SureScripts, to, you know, our PBM partners and some of our partnering EHR vendors. It was like huge. And where we've seen this evolve over time to, not only is this just commonplace, but we're also seeing the use of, you know, controlled substances, which when that was first introduced about 10 years ago, there was legislation that was needed to allow e-prescribing. And now we're seeing that switch where states are actually now mandating the use of e-prescribing for controlled substances for certain medications. So it's just interesting. And that's what I love about being in this space, is just how much change we've seen over the last 20 years that really just started, you know, on that first day with that eligibility transaction and all the other capabilities that have gone along with that. It's just been a really exciting place to be.
So is that, Melissa, is that what's hot in the industry, is legislation occurs and that forces change in what's going to be required from any prescription perspective, from a tracking perspective? Is that what's driving the industry right now, is legislation, or is it something else?
I would say, you know, I think it was a big part initially to help drive adoption, certainly around e-prescribing, and then with controlled substances, it's also been a big player. I mean, I think there's also, you know, legislation now trying to drive adoption for the use of electronic prior authorization as well. And once that legislation is, you know, in place, then it certainly does help drive adoption of those capabilities.
What is prior authorization?
So prior authorization is needed when PBMs, or the pharmacy benefit managers, work together with their customers to define whether or not really high costs, usually specialty drugs, require an approval from the health plan prior to the provider being able to prescribe that medication. And it takes along a lot of manpower. It takes time to get completed. And oftentimes when a prescription isn't going through the prescribing process, the pharmacy could just end up getting a prescription and realize when they process the claim that a prior authorization is required. And what happens with the EPA solution is that that actually brings it up front into the workflow, and the provider, along with the patient, identify that a prior authorization is required. And then at that point, they can take action electronically to work that prior authorization and get it approved electronically. So what used to be take weeks, or even in some case several, like a month or more, they can reduce that down to a matter of hours to getting that prior authorization approved and taking care of all of that upfront prior to the prescription even arriving at the pharmacy, which is a huge win because it gets people onto their medications. And usually these are for folks that are dealing with some pretty complex medical conditions in a lot of cases. So if we can handle that prior authorization process upfront, earlier in the workflow, make it easier for the patient, the prescriber, and the pharmacy, it's just a win across the entire ecosystem.
Sure, sure. What's next in e-prescription? Is there a future state where, everything is fully integrated and there's no longer need for, for the integrations and prior authorizations? Will the systems get to that point, or with legislation, will there always be changes that are required in your mind?
I think there's opportunity. There's obviously more opportunity for additional transaction sets to be utilized, right? Just because legislation came along and kind of pushed e-prescribing along, that got a lot of people on board. But now there's transactions that it could be valuable that still need to be implemented that could tell, like for instance, one of them is like a fill transaction. It tells the physician exactly when and if that medication got picked up by the patient at the pharmacy, right? Valuable information to know to see if they're have good drug adherence for that particular patient or not. There's things like that that there's still a lot of opportunity to advance there. You hear a lot of things in the news about pricing transparency, and that's some of the stuff that we're talking about here with the RTPB transaction that Melissa was talking about. We're getting more knowledge in front of the patient about what they're paying and how much they're paying, how much their insurance is paying, how much they won't pay, what's their copay, stuff like that. There's opportunity there. But as far as like getting rid of some of the red tape, as far as like you mentioned prior auth, I don't know if there's plans for that to ever to be dismissed. But there's opportunity if you with paying for medications outside of your benefit now with different companies that do couponing and like the GoodRx type of solution where I might be able to get the medication cheaper someplace else. And you're just giving more information to the patient who needs to make the right decision to not only get the right medication, but at a price they can afford.
Are these solutions being integrated into handheld applications that patients, customers have on their phones, and they're looking and saying, okay, I've got my prior auth, I can go down to the pharmacy at this point, or hey, it looks like there's an option for me to coupon with a different company here. Is it to that point yet, or is that a future state?
No, there are some tools that are available like that. Companies like SureScripts have to be careful because they only have certain data rights for that information, so they can't do everything that you might dream up for providing the information. But there are services and tools out there that they're trying to put that information into, like you said, in handheld, any type of device that the patient can make a more informed decision. That's the state we're in right now, right? Is people want to have that information in their hands and make the decision because they're the ones that are being affected the most. If the medication is $5 cheaper here than there, then why not put that information in their hands so they can get it, right?
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. We've run out of time. Really appreciate both of you taking time to be on the Kelly Wendland podcast. Melissa Brown, Rob Moore, thank you. Everybody have a great Friday and great weekend.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, that was awesome. Thanks for your time.